house without a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay. I'm waiting for something funny, but I don't think Lou had it cued. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. I have no idea what the date is. Isn't it like Thursday, the 16th of September, 2010? I'm doing a little bit of handheld action here. I forgot to bring a microphone stand, so I'm holding on to it. If we could turn the camera on, it'd look like I was doing karaoke, but we don't need to do that. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We're coming to you from Central California at a secret location. We're at a secret location today. We haven't done the show for 2 days because of a family issue, and we're glad to say that family issue has been we got through it. Grandpa Ted, and it's okay, Lou, if you want to let it out, you can cry, is home from the hospital, and I don't want to talk about another man's hospital situation, but he's doing much better, and he's home, and he doesn't get to eat anything he wants anymore. But isn't that typical when you go to the hospital? I need to move this whole thing. Grab, hold that. Because if I'm going to sit comfortably, I can't be leaning forward. There we go. My headphone cable wasn't long enough. I'm going to turn this down. I'm going to turn this down. I'm going to stare at the ceiling. Wonder if we should turn the light off. Let me turn the light off. As I said, we're a remote situation here, so we're trying to get it comfortable for the announcer. That would be me. That would be me. And we did miss a couple things for the last couple days. I haven't really been paying attention to the news because we've been worried about our loved one. And I know that I did get some emails from several listeners who were praying for Ted because I had mentioned it last Friday. I guess it was Monday. I had mentioned it on Monday. We're hearing a little bit of a hum or a hiss in here. I don't know if you guys can hear that. In the chat room, let us know. I'm getting this really bad hiss or pop. And that's because Lewis likes to put computers on the soundboard and smash the soundboard. So our new soundboard now has a pop in it. That's great, Lou. Thank you so much. The pot's probably got damaged. Anyway, I can hear it in my headphones. Maybe it's just my headphones. Hopefully it's just my headphones. Maybe it's just going through the control room and not out over the air. So anybody saying anything in there? Nope, nothing in there. We just added... wow. I'm hearing all kinds of stuff now. What is that? Oh, it's the air conditioner. it's like, yikes! For those of you that haven't been keeping up with the Facebook side of things here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program, we added a speaker to the ever-so-wonderful 15th Annual Old Paths Conference. And his name is, wasn't it Steve Klein? Yeah. Steve Klein, he's a Vietnam-era vet, sniper, Marine, Marine first, sniper second, hunter-killer, has spent his life dedicated to... the Holy Cause of Liberty, good man. He emailed me some stuff that he's going to have in his presentation. It's going to be really good. He's going to be able to get up and teach to you on the threat of Islam and on the constitutional issues that allow us to limit Islam. A lot of people are already upset. They're like, you can't, the Constitution can't limit religion. So I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be a very controversial, militant presentation. Now, Lou, if you go to Facebook, since you didn't pick up on the cue there, that I wanted people to be able to hear this. Okay, go. Okay, close that. Can you scroll down on mine to where his video? No, go up. So where it says profile, Lou. Yeah, you click on profile and then scroll down to where you have some of his videos. We're going to play a bit of one of his YouTube videos. Where's the one on the mosque that tells about the meaning of the word mosque? Okay, so go ahead and click on that. And let's see if that plays. And you'll hear a click when I turn off.
I am the
Infidel, proudly the kafir. This is a little ditty on the background of the mosque, the etymological background of the mosque, from the Concise Dictionary of English Etymology. Mosque, a Mohammedan temple, Spanish and Arabic. Mosque, Spanish mezquita, a mosque, Arab masjad, masjid, a temple, mosque, Arabian root, sajada, to adore, prostrate oneself. Ah, from the word mosquito, a gnat, Spanish mosquito, diminutive of mosca, fly. Aha, the Spanish word for fly, housefly, is mosca, pronounced almost identical with our word mosque. The Spanish word for mosque is aligned with Beelzebub, the lord of the mosca, the lord of the flies. From Spain, the time of the Moor conquest, 700 years of rape and murder, beatings and slavery. The Spaniards had a word for mosque, and it's the basis of our English word for mosque. Crescent moon, feces, the magnet that draws in the swarm of flies, mosca. The Spanish word for mosca is our word for outhouse. Of course, every home in Spain had an outhouse, mezquita, or little house, outhouse. So the ground zero mosque really means the ground zero crapper. In the United States military, we wouldn't call it crapper. In Spain, until 1492, when the Moors, the Muslims, were kicked out and sent across the Mediterranean to the land of the Moors, Morocco. In those days, when the Spaniards saw the Muslims go to the place where they stuck their gluteus maximi high into the air and their filthy noses onto the ground, the Spanish moms and dads would say, ha-ha, they're going to the crapper, the mosque. Infidel I am, kafir I am, mighty proud of it. Thank you.
All right, there. That was just one little chunk of Steve Klein, my new friend. We're going to have him on the show. I've already set up some time that we're going to interview him either before or after the conference. I'm working on, actually, Lou and I are going to be working on his PowerPoint presentation. He's going to be speaking during the 15th annual Old Paths Conference here at the Church at Kauai. When I say here, just assume that I'm up there, even though we're 80 miles away. So don't be going, you're not really there, but, you know, so you know what I'm saying. And I like that, a little bit of the etymology, the meaning behind the words, that mosque basically means, porta potty. And he held himself back. He was, you know, trying not to be so graphic, but it was interesting. And the crescent, the crescent image on the mosque is actually, you know, a piece of feces and that they're gathering to the flies. I love it. And of course that's going to infuriate people, so of course I want to promote it. I don't know if Lou wants, it's a video if you want to see it. Lou, can you cut and paste that in the room if people want to get that? And then after you do that, Lou, we're going to play the second one. Now the second one, I do differ with him on a few things. He's saying that the U.S. Constitution has the power to regulate the church. But this guy's also a free church movement guy. So, and granted, you're taking something from, you know, he gives an hour-long presentation, even longer, and somebody edited it down and put it up on YouTube. But I just want to give you an idea of who this Klein guy is. And then when we're done doing that, I'm going to have Lou Google. We're going to find some John Weaver. We're going to find some other guys that are going to be at the conference. That's going to be the show today because, like I said, I just kind of popped into my head to do this. So you cool with that, Lou?
Yes, so.
Okay. So can you bring up the other video, Lou? This is another video here that Steve Klein has put up where he's talking about the Constitution.
Most Americans believe it's un-American to regulate or prevent religion in America from existing. Let's flip it. If the religion is un-American, is dangerous, can the First Amendment regulate it? Islam means submit. So a Muslim, Islam's verb, to Muhammad. What would Muhammad do? A good Muslim, Islam's verb to Islam, does what Muhammad, the perfect man in Islam, would do. Muhammad is the paradigm example for proper behavior. So, should Islam be regulated or prevented depends on what would Muhammad do. Muhammad married a 6-year-old girl and had sex with her when she was 9. Muhammad lied, murdered, assassinated, beat his wives to have sex. See the Quran, Surah 434. Muhammad got his men by buying them with power, money, and sex. Muhammad, Islam, never mentioned the golden rule, just the opposite. Do unto others before they do unto you is a central message of what would Muhammad do. Keeping it simple, Muhammad developed his PMS, religion, power, money, and sex, and it has become an RPM religion, religious, political, and military. If you wish to be a good Muslim, then do what Muhammad did. You become RPM, religious, political, and military. So when you Islam, verb, to Islam, you may marry 6-year-old girls, lie, assassinate, beat your wife to have sex, etc. Consider history. History proves our government must regulate the First Amendment. It's not absolute. Schenck versus United States, 1919. The government must regulate dangerous speech and assembly. We cannot falsely cry fire in a crowded theater, and history proves that churches can be regulated. Reynolds versus the United States. Utah, a Mormon territory, was not granted statehood until the LDS gave up polygamy. History proves that Christian denominations that will not allow transfusions for their children, that the state must step in and regulate this, saving the life of the child. Again, for safety's sake, is this un-American? No. History also regulates Southwest U.S. Indian tribes from using peyote hallucinogenic drugs in their ceremonies. Un-American? No. Is regulating Islam and regulating the building of a mosque un-American? No. 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 No.
Okay, wow, a little thing there. He's a self-proclaimed infidel, as am I. And I'm just kind of giving you guys a little bit of flavoring, a little seasoning here of what this conference is going to be like. I don't think, you know, I have a gift. The Lord has given me a gift. Sometimes when I'm standing at a crossroads in history, I sense it. I feel it. I feel when something big is happening while it's happening. I'm not predicting it. I'm just like going, this is important. And I think that this Old Paths Conference coming up, the 2nd and 3rd of October, is going to, one, it may be the last time that we as Christians are allowed to assemble in this way without being hampered by the authorities. Two, the caliber of these men, Chuck Baldwin, this gentleman Steve Klein, John Weaver, Peter Hammond, Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, and the 280 people, the multiple families, the militant families from as far away as Virginia now. Isn't Virginia the farthest that's registered?
North Carolina,
we've had some registrations come in. Have you found? And the next speaker that we're going to have that Lou's bringing up, what are the topics you got there, Lou? What do you got to share with me on his audio? Yeah, put that one up. That's a good one. That's a good basis one. Pastor John Weaver is the next person that we want to talk about. Is it ready to go? It's loading. Okay, and I'm just going to play the clip from him. It's in, well, there's some intro here. He's got a whole ministry based on the militant Christian, the Confederate Christian, and history. And he's just an amazing man. I know him personally. I've trained with him. I've trained with him and his wife. He's going to be here at our church. And boy, they got a long intro on that thing. It's supposed to be. And what is this from? Is this from his Christianity and Civil Government Parts 1 of 6? Now, he's going to be giving, when I was looking over the agenda, he's going to be talking about a Confederate sniper story. Last year was, boy, I can't believe you put something up like that. Why do people, like, make such long intros for video?
Throughout history,
here we go.
There have
Turn
been
it.
Those men who have stood for freedom and biblical morality. Today, as Americans move more and more away from God and morality, we have become enslaved by sin and an oppressive government. This program will cover such questions as, should we obey every law from government? What has happened to the church in America? Will we be judged if we allow our government to continue in its wicked ways?
If we think that we can sin against God,
Pastor John Weaver,
and get by with it, we're mistaken. And if we think that we can let our rulers commit all kinds of ungodly, wicked acts, and we escape, once again, we're mistaken. Because of the covenantal nature of government, God holds the people equally responsible as he does the rulers.
Each one of us is responsible for the future and the hope of our children. America's problems cannot be ignored. If you care about this country, stay tuned. Find out how we can turn our country around. Author and historian Pastor John Weaver has studied these subjects for over 26 years. He travels across America, preaching and lecturing in churches, colleges, and conferences. John Weaver is an expositor of God's whole word. His preaching style is in the tradition of our early American pastors, whose pulpits were the cradle of America's Christian liberty.
Okay, that's a little bit of Pastor John Weaver there. What else do you got on John Weaver over there? Put me up some other stuff. I know he's got some. What's the other one there? What's that one? Okay, on what's the topic? I didn't ask you. Okay, but Pastor John Weaver, I mean, you got a little bit in there about him. He was obviously being interviewed for some historical video, but he. You're not going to hear this kind of preaching at your 501c3 church. Now find me some Peter Hammond. I want to find some stuff with Peter Hammond, and we're going to play a little bit of that. Because I just want to encourage people to do everything they can to get to this conference. I know we're at about we're not at maximum capacity yet, but we're darn close. And these are things that sure we're going to offer the CDs afterwards. But you're going to want to be here. You're going to want to say, back in 2010, that first weekend in October, I was at the church at Cahuilla. I met these men. And here we go. Bring him up. Where is he? Why don't I hear him? That's weird.
Nelson Mandela is a Marxist. He wrote the book How to Be a Good Communist, which was entered into testimony at his trial. The man is a humanist on every level. He has pushed through the legalization of abortion, pornography, homosexual relationships. He put into the Constitution protection for sexual preferences. The first constitution in the world, I believe, to actually, in the Constitution itself, entrench privileges for perverts. Nelson Mandela has put forward so many things, trying to legalize prostitution. He's a radical liberal and a humanist of note. And we've challenged him, and I spent an hour discussing these very matters with him when he was president, and he summoned me to his home because I just marched 30,000 people outside his offices to protest his pagan policies. So I'm astounded that so many in the West idolize Nelson Mandela and lift him up as a messianic figure because they obviously don't know what he teaches, what he believes, or what he does, or his support for some of the most radical Marxist dictatorships on the planet with some of the worst human rights records, such as the governments of Red China and Cuba. And he has supported these dictators wholeheartedly and received them to South Africa with the greatest honors. And Clint Eastwood's latest film, Invictus, which there's more of this distortion of history and rewriting of reality, this has not helped either. There's a lot of Christians out there who idolize Nelson Mandela just because they've only been given false, misleading, and incomplete information. Clint Eastwood is obviously a very good director, but he chose the wrong story. He did a good propaganda piece, but, you know, Leni Riefenstahl, she did an excellent job with Triumph of the Will on Adolf Hitler, too. You know, to admire the technical brilliance of a production isn't to say you're...
Okay, that's Peter. Just a little bit of Peter Hammond there. We're going to find another one on him where he actually addresses Islam. Don't play it yet. What's the title of this one? Oh, yeah, this will be a good one, but don't play it yet. One thing I want to talk about Peter Hammond, it's the first time I've met someone in my life and sat through several hours of presentations from him and hearing his stories of fighting in combat, his experience in facing the enemies of Christ and engaging in physical warfare with them, having been bombed, imprisoned, beaten, tortured, looking down the sights of a rifle, pulling the trigger and killing those that need killing, that are the enemies of Christ. It was the first time in my life when I met this man that I didn't know what to say when I met him. I was actually dumbfounded. And that, if you don't know me that well, I have always got something to say about anything. and I, in fact, we were making jokes about it. I think I had a man crush on this guy. I really do, because it was like when we were at church, I was kind of, because Lewis and I are the AV guys. Lou was working with him a little closer, helping him set up his computer and his projector and stuff. And then I got there, and I come walking in, and he's like, and I can't do a South African accent, but he was like, is that a Ruger P90? And I'm like, well, yes, it is. He goes, oh, that's my preferred pistol. I started to blush. No, it was not a Glock. No, he said he preferred, Lou, you're going to get a foot to the head. He says that, you know, he does carry a Glock, but he says he really, really likes the P90. He says he likes to give it out to the tribes out there, and says it's a durable, hardy weapon that's good for Africa. So you shut up, Lou. You just shut up. Peter Hammond likes my gun. And but it was like for the next 2 weeks, it was like, you know, Dutch has got a man crush. But this guy puts his money where his mouth is. He's been protected by miracles. Stacy's just losing it over there. Shut up, Lou. And but Peter Hammond is just amazing. He's over there, you know, on the ground. He's fighting, and you know, like in this little piece we just played for you, everybody loves Nelson Mandela. He's so cool, but he tells the truth, because the truth is what matters. It's not what the public wants to hear. It's not what a bunch of rock stars go over there and bow down and kiss Nelson Mandela's ring. Peter Hammond has a fatwa out against him, and I'm thinking that even Mr. Klein does, and so does. I wouldn't be surprised if all of our speakers have got some kind of contract out against him. What are you doing, Lou? What? Are we getting ready to take a break here? What time is it? Okay, so why don't we go ahead and play the video first, and then you can. What are you doing? You're like, change my screen. Okay, here's some more stuff. This is, I don't know if this is in the middle, but this is Peter Hammond on Islam versus Jesus. And go ahead and hit play.
Just as Jesus taught us to love our enemies, Muhammad taught his people to kill and enslave his enemies and to cripple him. You know, Jesus enslaved no one, but Muhammad was a slave owner and a slave trader. Jesus didn't engage in massacres, but Muhammad had 600 to 900 Jewish men slaughtered in cold blood for simply refusing to accept him as a prophet. Jesus healed the sick. Muhammad healed nobody. Jesus walked on the water. Muhammad rode a camel. And Jesus could make the blind people see. Muhammad could only make seeing people blind by putting out their eyes. Jesus could make the crippled man walk, but Muhammad could only take walking men and make them crippled. Jesus could take a dead man and make him alive. Muhammad could only take a live man and make him dead. This is the difference. There's an empty tomb in Jerusalem, but there's a tomb in Medina. You can go and see the grave of Muhammad, and that is it. That's the difference. You've got one religion that's built upon Jesus Christ, the resurrection, the life, and the other one, which is basically a religion of a deceased slave trader.
Okay. I could listen to his stuff all day long. He just the stories that he brings forth, the things that he has seen and that he is sharing with we fat and happy Christians in America. This conference is a pivotal point. We're bringing these speakers in. We're bringing this caliber of men in. And if you don't know who you know Chuck Baldwin is, and he's giving sermons from his church in Florida until he moves to Montana. On questions of and issues of liberty, and issues of the problems in America today, you know, wagging our fingers at the corrupt governments that we have now in the United States, and we're going to have someone from South Africa warning us. Look at what happened to us. Look at what happened to Africa. Okay, is this me? That's really weird. I'm going to just turn it off. I'm going to turn off my phone. Okay. We can't answer that phone, so we're not going to answer it. Ted got out of the hospital, so everybody's going to be calling. Can you turn the ringer down, Lou? Look on the side. There'll be something that you can turn down on the side, and we can at least get rid of that. But we, as Americans, for some reason, we fail to learn from the mistakes of our family members, our acquaintances. We have to do everything ourselves. It's you know, like walk a mile in his shoes. Why should I? I can see that his feet are bloody and that he's been crawling on his knees for the last few hundred yards. Why would I want to walk a mile in that guy's shoes? Why should we emulate what Europe did before they're having the problems they're having with illegal immigration, with the Muslims overrunning them? It doesn't make sense to me. And we're going to have a handful of good men. We're going to have several handfuls of families, you know, men, women, and children that are going to be here to hear the message. And I really believe that we're going to be blessed for this. I really believe that this is going to be the start of something. The synergy that's going to grow out of this is going to be amazing. And if you can't make it, you need to make something like this happen in your area. You have to seek out these people. And when we get the audio done and we'll make the audio available to people that donate to the cause here at the Church of Kaweah and this cause here for the Dutch Jones radio program, you know, we'll make it available to you so that you can have it on audio and then you can reproduce it and share it. The presentations that are going to be given in this church, you will be hard-pressed to find them taught anywhere else in America. Now, you may find them in churches that are under siege across Europe and Asia, Central America, where Christians are fighting for their lives. And we sit here in relative comfort, in air condition, cable TV world, microwave meal world, and we just ignore it. We just completely ignore it. Are we coming up on the break, Lou? What time is it? Okay. Well, we're going to take a slight break here. Lou's going to play some music. We're going to play a little commercial. Take that time to tell other people about this show. Drop an email right now. We've got only a handful of people in the broadcast. That's usually because I haven't been on for a while. But I know the folks that the pod people will download in earnest. I know that the folks on Liberty Tree Radio, hopefully they'll be here after the break at 6 o'clock, top of the hour. And our people over on Facebook, we just continue to gain more and more of them. So, folks, you're listening to the Dutch Jones Radio. Are you playing music? I don't hear it. Are you playing it? Why don't you turn the volume up?
I always like to end on a positive note.
Turn it up.
Here is a rousing, uplifting song, which is guaranteed to cheer you up. When you attend a funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are. We will all burn together when we burn. There'll be no need to stand and wait your turn. When it's time for the fallout and St. Peter calls us all out, we'll just drop our agendas and adjourn. We will all go together when we go. Every Hottentot and every Eskimo. When the air becomes Uranus, we will all go simultaneous. Yes, we all will go together when we all go together. Yes, we all will go together when we go.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention! Attention!
Check.
Is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones. Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live on this Thursday, the, we said 16th of September? 16th of September 2010 from somewhere in semi-central California. We're not going to tell you exactly where. Let me get my other headphone on. There we go. I think we've worked that hiss out of the microphone. I think I had my gain up too high and my pot down too low and the microphone too close. I mean, that sounds actually pretty good right there. I'm watching the meter bounce. I am Dutch Jones, your host, and I like to share with you a militant Christian worldview. You never know what you're going to get here. Some of my the biggest generating email shows are the ones where I talk about people's guts spilling out after you've slashed them with some fabricated or store-bought, improvised, or otherwise weapon item. And people seem to like those. People like the practical. I'm not an expert on anything I share with you. I'm just sharing with you one man's point of view. One angry man who's sick and tired of seeing how our country's going. I'm just asking questions and giving options. I give people solutions all the time. Nobody listens to them, but I do give you the solutions, and I do live, as best I can under my own philosophy, and as a family, we try to function that way. We train, we play, we live, we praise, we worship. We try to do everything with a militant Christian worldview. And sometimes I may get things wrong, or we may differ in technique, tactic, item, purchasing, what you should purchase, those types of things. But that's okay. As long as we're all moving in a river of thought in the same direction towards the ultimate goal, that's fine. I mean, there are some things I can't compromise on, like sodomites. I don't want anything to do with faggots. I'm not going to let a faggot in my militia. I'm not going to let a faggot in my house. One wants to show up at church and be preached to. Yeah, Lou's favorite word is fudge packer. He likes that one. Every once in a while, in TV or film or something, somebody will use the derogatory term fudge packer, and Lou just giggles like a little monkey, curls up in a ball, and goes, "He said fudge packer." But whatever you want to call them, there are some things that I do not compromise on. Islam is one of them. My studying of Islam, we've studied together through the church and through other sources. I honestly believe that they were fabricated by the Catholic Church. It's a way of life. It's not just a religion. It's a movement that was put there to the Catholics, I believe, the hierarchy, to keep the peasants in check. You know, the Crusades, that whole thing. It was an economic tool. It was a terrorist tool. It was a social tool. Well, it's gotten out of hand, and just because it's being manipulated, you know, the whole inside job concept, yes, I understand that it wasn't just those 19 terrorists that took down the World Trade Centers. But that doesn't mean that Islam is not a threat. So stop sending me the email saying, I can't believe you're focusing on Islam. I'm not focusing on anything. I'm a generalist. I see the whole problem. I sit back in my, you know, little lawn chair and just watch the world go by, and I come up with opinions, I come up with plans. All I'm doing is sharing them with you. So I've got buddies that they are so fixated on the Islamo-terrorist thing, they don't want to talk about anything else. I got other friends, all they care about is ZOG, you know, the Zionist Occupational Government. You know, and they don't want to do it. I got friends, all they want to do is focus on the Jesuit problem, the Nazi Catholics, or whatever you want to call them. Huh? The Catlickers, as Lou puts it. That's okay. But what I'm saying is that when you get target focus like that, you're not efficient in battle. It's like Lou and I were talking about, I think it was Monday, about knife fighting. You focus on the knife, you're going to miss the big picture, and you're going to end up getting stabbed. You're going to miss his buddy, you're going to miss his other head. We've got to look at the whole picture. We've got to look at all the threats against liberty that are out there and not be distracted easily. Unfortunately, in America, we've been programmed to that. Our preachers, our school teachers, our civic leaders have all been complicit in this and teaching us to have, you know, 30-second time span attention or attention spans. We're just geared towards it. No, very few people are of substance. Very few people just sit down and read a book that educates them anymore. They're just looking for the quick entertainment or escape reading. I don't read to escape. If I read a book, it's because I want to learn something from it. I want to feel better about it after I've watched it. And that's the same philosophy I apply to TV and movies. And I make a lot of mistakes sometimes, like, wow, that was not at all what I expected. We watch a lot of survival videos. We watch a lot of so-called self-defense videos. There's a reason for it. And if they're well done and you can laugh while you're watching them, that's fantastic. What, Lee? You gotta speak up. I can't hear you. I gotta tell a joke? I don't have it. I haven't told a joke yet. Lee's been waiting for me to tell a joke. I really don't have any jokes today. We're relieved that Ted is well, at least well enough to come home. We got a monetary blessing that we weren't counting on, but it came in, so we're actually going to make it to the end of the month as a family. You know, the radio ministry's still hurting. And there's just been some good things going on the last couple days, and I'm just really relaxed, and I can't think of a joke to tell. I don't know any funny jokes, Lou. I'm not a funny guy. I'm very serious. I'm a very serious man. Yeah, so that's the way it goes. But what I had planned on talking about was making sure that you folks have got your escape and evasion plans ready. I'm going to be teaching. Oh, I might as well bring that up. This Sunday, which I don't know the date this Sunday, so today is the 16th, Friday will be the 17th, 19th. So Stacy's going to look it up. This coming Sunday, the Church of Kaweah, we're going to have one of our open public forum trainings. There's not going to be any camp over. That's not until the end of October. But this third Sunday coming up, I believe it's the 19th of September. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Is there anything in the chat room about? Okay, 19th. You come to our church at Kaweah in Kaweah, California. You come probably by 9:30. You come to the service. You go through chow with us, and we're having our pitch-in dinners again. You just bring some kind of entree. Like, we usually grab a bag of fish sticks or tater tots. Or last Sunday we brought onion rings. And we all pitch in. There's always enough food for everybody. You eat with us. And then I'll do about an hour, hour and a half class. And then we're going to have a meeting about our conference. But if you're coming a long way, let us know. Give us a call. We'll give you directions. And you can find our phone number for the church at our website. And that's www.thechurchat.org. That's www.thechurchatkawea.org. I think that's the best I've ever got through that. Oh, man. I just downed like 3 pieces of pizza before we came on the air. I shouldn't be laying down. I'm laying in a bed right now, like a hotel room kind of scenario. I'm going to go to sleep during the show. Oh, Warland's in there. Welcome, Warland. You give us a call. We'll give you directions because we're in the town of Cahuilla, which is adjacent to Three Rivers, California. But you can come up here and you'll get the training with us. I do have some things to talk about. We did go. Remember Monday I told you we were going to go to the community meeting. And we were told that we have indeed lost our ambulance service. And they moved it to the next town down when it's there. And it just added about 12 minutes to the response time, which in a life-saving situation is an eternity. But said that they're getting good quality service because they went from a volunteer agency to a private provider, and it's ARM. Remember it used to be AMR. I don't know what ARM is, but it's probably the same company. They just probably got sued and changed their corporation around. But they were talking about how they're doing that, and all the volunteers were like 90 years old anyway, so now they've actually got professionally paid EMTs and paramedics. And I stood up, and I told them, I gave a little spiel about the CERT program, and I said, why don't you guys do this? Why don't neighbors help neighbors? And then, of course, the guy who ran the volunteer ambulance service got up and said, well, we just don't have enough volunteers. Nobody wants to volunteer. We held a class, and only 5 people showed up. And I'm like, well, your classes must be irrelevant and, well, I didn't say this, irrelevant and boring or something.
And then he said, you want an Exeter? That's a fine service. Only takes 10 minutes to get up here.
Yeah, they're saying that Exeter was, anyway, they were kind of fudging the response times. I said, well, what happens if you have a multi-casualty incident? What are you going to do? So we need to train people here. Well, I said that the church at Cahuilla, my pastor was there and, a couple of folks in the church. And we said, why don't we get together and start doing this community emergency response team training? We can stabilize and help if all our neighbors know it. And they're like, oh, great, And I said, and we had a county board of supervisors that goes, well, we've looked into it, but we haven't had anybody to spearhead it. So they were trying to draft me to go to some planning getaway retreat they're going to be doing. I don't know. I have real apprehensions about getting involved again in community level stuff. I don't mind doing it at the church level. But the meeting was kind of weird. We had the school board there. The school's going bankrupt. They need $1 million a year, and they need a raise of $56 per parcel tax. And of course, all the liberals were like, "Oh, it's a small price to pay. Let's just keep paying more and more taxes." And then when people stood up and said, "Well, why do you need this money? Where's your budget? What are you doing?" Well, we didn't bring anything. We didn't want to show you. But if you don't pay it in 2 years, the school's closed. And then Debbie, who's a frequent studio audience member of the Dutch Jones radio show, said, well, homeschool. And they didn't like that any. But we had that. And then what was the second thing that was the taxes? Yeah, we had George Takai lookalike come up. And he's the county board of supervisor representative from our area. And they were talking about, and it's funny, because if you remember Monday when I was talking about mass transit, wanting to buy the train lines, all that kind of stuff. And so the meeting was kind of uneventful. We hadn't had one for a while. But unfortunately, I think I may have volunteered myself to kind of do some training for the community. I told them, they said, can we have your name and your phone? I'm like, just talk to my pastor. I'll let him work as my agent. But there were just too many hippies at the town hall meeting. I wasn't that impressed. There was like 2 or 3 people who just stood up and said, why do you keep raising taxes? Why in this economic climate would the school actually come to us and ask for a 5-year bond measure, for your tax for $58 extra per parcel? And one guy stood up and goes, I've got 8 chunks of land up here, and that works out to, yada, yada, yada for me. And people are like, woo, thanks for getting up and bragging, and they were making fun of him. The liberals, of course, they're like, and it gets into the liberal mindset. They don't mind throwing money at problems. Their tipping point is much more to the left than, say, yours or mine. Just like the Tea Party stuff. As soon as their comfort zone of a Tea Party member, they don't want to pay a lot in wasteful taxes. But I can tell you this: there are Tea Party members that have no problem paying taxes to go wage war. There are Tea Party members that have no problem paying taxes to go and punish criminals, or, you know, any of the other things that the federal government isn't supposed to be doing but is doing, and they accept those unconstitutional taxes. Well, the hippies just go farther to the left. And they're like, oh, more, more, more. Just keep taxing me and everything will be okay. Let's just throw more money at the problem. You know, and unfortunately, that's I've had a lot of conversations between last Monday and today. I have no sympathy for the sheep. And if you go onto our Facebook page, just go to Facebook and put on Dutch Jones and ask me to be a friend. You'll see where we're fighting the battle, and it's like the sheep just don't get it. You know, people will be all pro, oh, let's send more troops to Afghanistan. And I'm like, how can you say that? How can you want to continue this unjust war and call yourself a patriot? Yeah, the Muslims are a problem, and we got to repel them here. But for me, I say deport them all. Why? The reason that there are Muslims here in America is that we've got U.S. troops on the ground over there enforcing our own tyrannical law on them. So, of course, they're going to come over here. Now, they came first, historically, and we bend over backwards to appease them. When I say we, I mean our government and the majority of our people. Everybody's so afraid of being called a racist. What did you say, Lou? I thought you were giving me a time signal. What time is it? 5:47. We're going to do an hour today. So when Ed gets in, just have him repeat this hour, guys, when you see him. I don't know what it is. When I leave the stronghold, my health is bad. My energy is bad. We've been through a big, stressful last couple of days, and it's nice just to have things going better. And I really need to just relax and do some stuff here. But that's the other thing, insomnia. Anyone that has insomnia cures, email them to the Dutch Jones Show at yahoo.com. Lou, don't try to hit me in the head. Lou's sneaking up on me, trying to hit me in the head. I've had insomnia for 4 days straight. Well, the last four nights, I've not slept more than 2 hours. And no, I don't have any narcotics with me. I don't have, you know, no, I don't drink coffee. But I will. Lou's saying that should be a cure for the insomnia, drink more coffee. Just hype myself up more. Fight fire with fire. Yeah, that's right, Lou. You should have drum rolled yourself on this. Yeah, I'll just take a lot of caffeine injections. See what kind of medicine they gave Ted when he came home to rest. Maybe I can trade him some stuff for it. You know, some Kentucky Fried Chicken. He's not supposed to eat that anymore. We'll trade it. Here, I'll give you some Kentucky Fried Chicken. Give me Lynch did the rim shot. He's been dying to do that rim shot. You guys may have noticed new music. I have found some really good songs, and hopefully Lewis will work them into the mix. I've come up with found some more Confederate stuff. And what's the name of the guy who did the special? What's his name? Tom Lear, raving communist, I think. But he's got some anti-government stuff that I agree with. Like the Vatican Rag, that one was pretty good, and we'll play that over the next few days. And in my ever continuing quest to find you guys good quality entertainment, you know, the revolution needs a soundtrack, and I'm always looking for that one song. You know, I'm, of course, Minuteman, I don't know if he's in there. I really want Steve Voss, well, that's a good one to vote for there. But we need a song. To rally, that's not a Tea Party song. I'm sick and tired of the Tea Party stuff. Sorry. I know a lot of my friends on Facebook are Tea Party people, and they're always saying to me, hey, don't talk bad about them. I'm ready to fight. Well, that's the exception. Most, you know, I'll say it again. Most people, once their financial issue is solved and they get what they need, they're going to go back into their woodwork, and they're not going to complain about the government. They're gonna, you know what's going to happen in November? All the Republicans and conservatives are probably going to get voted in because everybody's so mad at the libtards. Oh, everything's fine now. We'll just go back into our holes, and then the Republican Nazis will take over again and force more Patriot Act stuff down. Now, I know the one thing that I did want to talk about, and we'll probably do this topic again because I was going to use the phone and have you guys call in, but here's something I want you to think about. Remember the whole burn the Quran thing that went upside down? Well, there are a lot of other documents we should be burning, and someone else, I can't remember what it was. Was it... wasn't the Patriot Act. Somebody went and burned something else. I can't remember what it was. I think it may have been the health care bill or, you know, something. What should we be burning? What documents? Should we take Senate Bill 1619 that we talked about on Monday and burn that? I, for one, think we should request copies of the Patriot Act and we should burn them. You know, we should keep those for kindling. There's the Medigo report, the IRS code. There's so much more stuff we could be burning, in addition to the Quran. I would love to see more physical protests in this country, because what do we see on the nightly news every day? Everybody around the world protesting the great Satan America, and they got thousands of people out in the street doing effigies and documents and chanting and jumping up and down. But, you know, we can't even get a million pissed off black men to go to Washington, D.C. The numbers just don't show up. Just can't rally the stuff of the civil rights movement of the 60s or that. It's just people are too lazy and too complacent. We can't get that to happen. It goes back to wanting a theme song for the revolution. But maybe we could rally people around some symbolism. What should we be burning? What documents would be good? I would think civil building codes, traffic laws, the little document to get your driver's license. You know how in the 60s liberated women went out and burned their bras? Well, I think all you liberated Christians, I mean liberated with a capital L because it comes from God, you should grab your marriage licenses, all you liberated married Christians, and burn your marriage license because you went to Caesar to get your marriage license. Birth certificates, documents. Could you here's another Dutch Jones solution. Turn them all in. Burn them. Destroy them. I'm not part of your system. Now, if only a handful of us do it, yeah, we become martyrs. But if everybody does it, then we become free. What are you worrying about?
Oh, well, she has a question.
What's
Olim? Why doesn't the government call for burning the Constitution Day?
Why doesn't the government call it burning the Constitution?
Day?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do it every day. If I get your point, they do it every day. They've destroyed the Constitution. They've destroyed the Declaration. They've destroyed the Bible. They've destroyed the family. They've been waging war against us since 1861. And they've had their victories all along the way. And we don't protest. We don't show up in the streets. I mean, I love it when you see, like, the World Trade Organization, WTO, or the Great Eight, or, you know, the Big Eight, or whatever, banking's nations in the world. All the hippies show up in mass. Look at Burning Man. Look at Woodstock. Let's go back a ways, but modern. But we, what do we have? A Tea Party. And most of those people, they're all got the same mass-produced signs. They just, one-liners. But how many of those people went back to their house, loaded their magazines, checked their food supply, and started training their kids? None of them. We just don't have, for some reason, liberty is not a lifestyle for Christians in America. It's something we talk about around the water cooler. It's something we scream when we shake our fists when El Bongo's on TV. But then we go looking for the NFL listing in the TV guide. Then we worry about the PTA meeting. We completely forget about doing the physical work of the Lord's plan here on earth. And then we participate in our own slavery. We're complicit in it. We compromise. I had somebody say something like, compromise is the key to happiness. I'm like, no, compromise is a gateway that leads to madness. It's not the key, it's the entire gateway. We don't have to compromise with Muslims. We don't need to compromise with non-Christians. We don't need to compromise with the sodomites. We need to make distinct, severe boundaries between us and them and not allow them to cross them and maintain their philosophies. If they want to be militant, Christian, patriotic Americans, they have to stop doing what they're doing. You can't have a foot in both camps. And we talk about that a lot here on the Dutch Jones Radio Show, and I make a lot of people mad. You know, just like a couple weeks ago when I said you can't be a pagan and a Christian or a Christian and a pagan. You know, it just doesn't work that way. You can't do it. This is an elite club. Very high standards. The good news is that there's a way around those standards, and that is you get vouched for by the president of the club, and that's Jesus Christ. But once you get here, you can't conduct yourself in the old ways. You can't be a blithering idiot, liberal libtard. You can no longer go out of your way to destroy everything. You've got to start fighting for the faith, defending the faith, and preparing for this battle that's coming. You know, if that means all you have is a 3-day pack, 200 rounds of ammunition and your daddy's bolt gun, if that's all you can do, God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Now, we've lost some listeners to this show because they don't like the militant message. It scares them. They don't like the thought of a Christian having to know just as much about a Springfield 30-06 as they do about John 3:16 or Luke 22:36. Boy, Ted's not going to rest. He's just going to keep getting calls from well-wishers. It's just sad, sad, sad. Well, how much time we got left? Look at me. How long?
4 minutes.
4 minutes? Okay. What time does it actually say, Luke? 5:56. We have 2 minutes before the break. So, folks, like I said, I'm only going to do 1 hour today. Because, I mean, it would be, if I did 2 hours, I'd just be blabbing, and you deserve better than that. And I promise you, you know, when I get more time to do research and study things and bring you stuff, you know, sometimes there are just things. What, Lou? I can't. We'll do 3 hours. Sometimes I can do three. But I just don't want to, you know, sell you a hollow cow, and, you know, for your magic beans that you're going to give me. But we've got to focus now. Focus, and fellowship, and prepare for the fight. And the best way you're going to do that is by forgetting about all these trappings that are out there. Stop being a yuppie. Stop worrying about what kind of car you drive. Stop worrying about how big a house you live in. 95,000 foreclosures in the month of August, folks. Why waste your time buying a house? That's not being a good steward of your resources, because you're going to lose your job in 6 to 8 months. Yeah, I strongly believe that. Most. What? Not 6 to 9 months. No, not 69 months. 6 to 9 months. They should have got a drum roll for that, Lou. He's all like, where's my drum roll? A little late, but we need to make that a permanent part of the show. Yeah, I'm just here. I'm a voice in the woods, people. Sunday we had a big old sermon on spiritual gifts, and if I got nothing else, it's just that I want to be a reflection of what the Lord's trying to tell us to do, and a reminder of the past to you people. If it's happened before, it will happen again. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the things that have happened to God's people yesterday can happen today, and they will happen tomorrow. And it is just stupid for us to sit idly by and go, doo-doo-doo, we're just Christians, nothing bad will happen, we're in America. Stop kidding yourself and stop making a bad future for your children. It's pathetic that you do that. Man up, woman up, show you got the ovaries, show you got the testicular fortitude. Stand up for your faith. Take part in the holy cause of liberty. Do something to prepare your mind, your body, and your spirit for battle, because we are heading for the biggest battle in the history of this planet. The biggest physical battle that could possibly be. And stop telling me we're not going to win, we're all going to be martyred because there's just not enough of us. We don't need cowards. We need people with faith. Faith and your training will carry you through. I'm Dutch Jones. This has been the Dutch Jones Radio Program. There's not going to be a number 2 hour. If you folks are at Liberty Tree Radio tuning in, just play the first hour back. I just don't have the energy to do two. I need your continued prayers for my health. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to go into it into too great a detail. It's just getting harder and harder to do the show, take care of the family, try and figure out a way to get a job. I just don't have the energy anymore. Turn into an old codger. Maybe I'll have to give up cricket. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. We definitely will. We can do 2 hours, and we'll be up in the studio. It's a little easier for me to do it up there, too. And we'll have some good information for you. We'll talk more about escape and evasion. I'm Dutch Jones, here to remind you that the sword is heavy, the battle is hard. But victory belongs to the Lord alone, but he's looking for a few good people to stand in the gap. Are you willing to do it? Talk to you tomorrow. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty.